I am just the worst because of this.
So at that point, I was rock bottom.
It's impossible. There's no way. Because
for a long time, I was always blaming myself. Like, this is all my fault. I started this.
And just had the mindset of, like, I'm never going to overcome this, you know? Like, I was giving in and letting Satan beat me into the ground.
The terrible kid who has to go to work. Like, I failed. Like, I got to the point.
I ended up losing a really horrible battle.
It's really in that moment that you're at that rock bottom stage that you have a fork in the road and you are forced to choose.
And I chose to fight, and I choose to fight today, and I'll choose to fight tomorrow because winning is worth it.
I just feel like the man right now.
Born fighting for my life, man, and now I fight to live. I don't just fight to live, dude, I fight to live the best life I can.
You're going to recover from this.
And if I can do this, you can do it.
It's like the start of a race, and that adrenaline's pumping, and you're like, let's go. Let's get going, because today, I change. And nothing, not even the armies of hell themselves, will stop me.
I am a warrior.
I'm a provider, presider, protector.
Satan is our enemy.
You're not alone.
Whatever
it takes. I fight with fury.
Let's go.
We will win this war. Don't mess with us.
Hey, warriors, welcome back. 2020. What?
New year, new us.
New year, new podcast? Nope.
Same podcast, new sodes. That's all it is. New stories from you guys.
That's correct.
Hey, we know we're a couple weeks into the new year, but we wanted to let you guys know that we are, as you're about to hear, we are back in black, baby.
Yeah, there's no ifs, ands, or buts.
We want to really give a shout out and a big thank you to Life Changing Services, the licensed clinicians here, Maurice Harker and his staff, for giving us this platform and allowing us to share our stories and your stories through this medium with you. We couldn't do it without them. And if at any time during this podcast or any of our other content that you're listening to, you feel the need that you need a little bit more help or a little bit of professional support in overcoming your fight against Satan, pornography, and masturbation, please, please, please go to lifechangingservices.org or reach out to us via podcast@lifechangingservices.org.
Amen, amen. Now here's a quick message from our man, our sponsor,
and our hero,
Cody Haas.
So happy you're listening to the Eternal Warrior Podcast. There's not a week that goes by where a warrior hasn't shared how the Eternal Warrior Podcast has helped them win a battle. My name is Cody Haas, and I'm a licensed therapist who helps those dealing with sexual addiction, betrayal trauma, trauma in general, marital recovery, and mental illness. Over the years, I've gathered resources to help those who desperately want to get to a better place. If you feel you're in need, please reach out to me by calling 385-519-6089 to set up an initial assessment. Once again, 385-519-6089. God bless you on your journey, my friend, and keep listening to Wes and Spenny. And remember, if you're doing things like listening to the Eternal Warrior Podcast, you're increasing your power and resilience. Remember the power you feel while you listen to Wes and Spenny, and replicate it daily by going and doing the things they share. You got this.
Back in black, I hit the sack. I'm in no mood to be back. Yes, I let loose from the noose that's keeping me high and bound. And I'm learning to just kind of get me high. I'm gonna never die.
Is it rolling?
Yeah, I just started. We don't have to keep that part.
I love it.
But. 'Cause we're back, back, back in black, back in black, back in town. Oh, that's another. That's,
you like that
probably
one?
Was better.
No. I love Back in Black.
The boys are back in town.
The boys are back in town.
Do 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 do. Right?
Yeah. I was like searching my memory database to be yeah, that's it. That sounds
back
right.
Back at it.
Tag team back again.
Let's begin. We all party all day for joy.
Say whoop.
There it is. Whoop. There it is. Upside down and inside out. What's all about?
Okay, well, should we... What do you think, man?
Well, in case you couldn't tell by the song choices, we're back. This is season 3, episode 1 of the Eternal Warrior podcast.
Season 3.
Helping young people in their quest for self-mastery, sharing stories from the battlefront in the war against Satan and pornography.
You didn't even look at anything. No, like, no. Still got it in your brain.
Dialed in. Styled in.
We're dialed.
I lost this job once. I'm not going to lose it again.
Oh, you guys, welcome back. Oh, man, this feels good. It feels good to me.
It feels right.
To be recording our voices on this system.
Welcome to 2020.
What? Does that feel real to you?
No. Oh, no.
A decade has come and passed, and year has come and passed, yes. And here we are, still, you know.
We still in it.
We still in it. We still grinding.
All day, every day. We want to, so just to give you guys kind of an outline of today's episode, it's probably going to be a little bit shorter. We want to give you guys an update on what's going on with us, what you can expect for the rest of the season.
Correct.
And we want to rehash some principles that we've talked about previously. Update on us. Spence.
Oh, man.
You're still married, right?
I'm still a married man.
Wow.
Which is unbelievable.
Neat.
It's amazing, you guys. I love Ashley so much. And that actually is real, though. That was like a fake cry, but I probably would do a real one.
I've seen him cry over her.
Correct.
Yep.
Many times. She is amazing. Marriage is good.
I can testify that she's a real person, too. So...
Right.
You skeptics out there. Nope. This is true. Gospel truth.
We got so many emails saying, we don't believe that. Bull crap.
No. She's great.
It's real. What about you, Weston? You've just been...
Still single, believe it or not.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
I can't believe
it. Hanging in there, though.
I can't believe it.
Rolling with the punches.
I won't believe it.
2020, though. I'm feeling good about it.
Aren't you, though?
I'm throwing all my strength at it. Ain't going to know what hit it.
So
it's going to be me that hit it.
2020?
Yeah.
So I just feel like, is this the time that we give like a full update of our lives?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So quickly, last time we spoke and you listened was in like what, October?
Something like, yeah, I think that's right.
Like beginning of October, I think is, so we've had this little couple month break, had, you know, some holidays. We've had a new Star Wars come and go. Unbelievable. We've had, what else? There have been some good things.
I feel like a World Series champion was crowned.
Whoa.
The Jazz are ripping it up.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Come on. There's a lot of good things happening. And interestingly enough, for Uncle Spenny here, it's been hard a couple months.
Mm.
In
the fight, or what do you mean?
Good question. Mm. In the fight, I mean, I'm still winning. I have not had an lost battle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's positive. But... And me and Ash have just been talking about this a bunch, but we don't really know exactly why, but it's been probably coming off the high of being married and like all of that building up to it and so busy. And then I kind of like had another little crash of mental strength, if you will, where just like my drive and just feeling those anxious depression like feelings again. So it really was appropriate that our last episode that we recorded for season 2 was about depression, anxiety, and how that impacts us, because it has impacted me the last couple months.
Wow.
Manpower has been pretty much non-existent. You know, I'll try for a couple days and be pretty good, and then it just, the consistency hasn't been there, and I can feel a huge difference in my life. I don't feel quite as in control. And I feel like more level 2s, level 3s have happened because of that. So like, I know I'm vulnerable, and because of my, I mean, potentially just because of, oh man. Yeah.
So having a companion now with you, how does that help? And maybe how is that maybe harder too?
Help in the fact that like there's so much more meaning and why behind the fight, right? Like protecting her and us.
You must protect this house.
I must protect this house. So like that like is a, for sure part of it. Harder in the fact that I feel
you're covenant bound now, right?
Like, yeah,
and you're super, you need to be accountable.
Correct. Right?
There's that level of
accountability. Yeah. And it's almost, I would say, maybe this is a personal experience as well, but I would say it's harder in the fact that as a single man, I felt like this kind of like drive to become something that someone would love. And now someone loves me so unconditionally that it's hard.
So cool.
Which is amazing.
That's all I want.
I know, she's the best. Oh, but also with that comes this kind of, I feel like over the last few months, which is changing, by the way, it's getting better. We're going to get after it, 2020. But I would say that it's been hard. It's like that lackadaisical, almost like, what am I improving for? What am I, like, I have to like refine that. Why
you need a new reason for improving. Well, and I think that highlights a principle that we've talked about on the show previously, is the importance of constantly updating and evaluating our reasons for fighting. Ooh. If we're losing battles, then we're not remembering our reasons, or our reasons aren't compelling enough.
Correct.
For us to get back to our frontal lobe, back to level zero, and to make choices based on values instead of based on feelings.
Correct. So. And I feel like one thing that I've learned, even just talking with Cody, did a little one-on-one with him a couple months back, and he specifically talked about how sometimes it's just hard. Like sometimes you will just go through valleys of life where mentally it's just not, you're just not quite the same, not quite as motivated. But what I will say is I hope that for the future valleys that I will have set up a more consistent foundation of like habits and being consistent with what I can be, so that those valleys aren't quite as low. Cause like this one has been lower than I am like would like to admit. And I can, you know, I can chalk that up as, yeah, just life is sometimes harder than others. But I also think that my inactivity with the little things day in, day out before the valley came. And I, you know, I think that can help mitigate those valleys.
Those daily things help us have a baseline. And help us to be consistent and to hold on to something and build this foundation, right? So contrasting like a difficult time with maybe a time where things are going really well, because you were coming off such a high, right? Just getting married and doing really well at work, getting promoted and having all these good things happen in your life.
Right.
It's important to maintain that consistency there to help you remember like, hey, things are really good right now though, but I need to maintain. That's where Satan can kind of weed his way in and with pride.
Oh man.
And help us realize or help us think, you know what, things are going well. I don't need to. Because of what I've been doing, but I've made it now, right?
And that's dangerous.
It's a dangerous game, right? Like there's the whole concept of arrival is toxic. Right? If you feel like you've made it or you've arrived, then you have nothing else to strive for, right? You have nothing left to defend. Whatever we obtain in this life, we have to maintain, right? And so if we're not prepared, if we're not making preparations for war, as we learn in Alma and Captain Moroni of constantly, you know, digging trenches and building breastworks of timbers around our lives and doing little things, manpower, service, reading the scriptures, connecting with our Heavenly Father, evaluating our reasons for fighting on the daily.
Correct.
Then we're setting ourselves up for
missing out for failure.
Yeah,
yeah, we're missing out on a huge opportunity to live too. Like I feel like I have missed out on the feeling of living intentionally. It's the best thing. I will say this: one thing you said reminded me of Captain Moroni. I believe, I don't know which chapter this is in Alma, but he talks about it is easier to maintain than to regain, almost. Like, it is better to... So, like, when you're there, when you're in that mode and you're having those temptations of, oh, I'm good, I don't need to anymore, just remember, it is so much easier to maintain those habits and that lifestyle when it's good than it is to regain it. Because right now, I'm in total regain mode. And I'm so excited for 2020. Like, me and Ash have got these goals and plans, and we're really, really excited about improving and in a lot of different aspects in our life, spiritually, physically, mentally. You know, there's a lot of things that I feel like I've kind of left behind, but wherever you're at in that journey, if you're feeling good right now, maintain it. And if you're not, then you have no other choice than to regain.
Yeah.
Like, let's put your foot in the ground and go the opposite direction.
It's important. We've got to keep that level mindset. Even when we're riding high, like, the consistency is what gives us foundation. Enjoy the high, but keep it in perspective.
Right.
Like, it's not the norm.
Right.
And one of my favorite sayings, and I thought it was a general authority I could attribute it to, but I've been looking it up and I couldn't find it. But it is far better to prepare and prevent than it is to repair and repent.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well said. If it doesn't come from a general authority, it comes from Weston Smith.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Let's chalk it up to you.
I found it on the internet.
No, that's you.
No. I found it on the internet.
So give me your update, though, really quick, because we've been talking a lot about all my crap.
But. So, the Q4 of 2019 was really tragic for my family and for me personally. We found out my dad has cancer, and it doesn't look good. He's, you know, he's been in treatment and he's actually been responding really well to chemotherapy and stuff, but it's all so touch and go. And so one benefit is it's really helped us to live in the now and live in the moment and cherish each day. But with so much uncertainty, it's been a burden.
We'll talk about chemical spills, yeah, man.
And my, it's rocked my mom. It's rocked all my brothers. And, in fact, like right before Christmas, my little brother was in the hospital. So we've got my,
I didn't know this.
Yep.
True?
Yep. A little true, daddy. So Truman was in the hospital. We thought he had appendicitis, and it turns out he's kind of got like a GI disease that...
What?
Yeah, he's going to have to work out. So
oh my gosh.
His sweet wife was there for him. Anyway, but he came out Christmas Day, came out of the hospital Christmas Day, but like... Just the whole holidays were just like, I don't know, it was kind of...
Bizarre.
Yeah, bizarre is a good way to put it. And that took its toll on me. And I really had a hard October and November. I was not doing what I needed to. And truth be told, like, the podcast really helps me to be accountable. Mm. And without... that there, like, I was losing battles, and I was really not where I wanted to be and who I wanted to be, and I don't want to blame my circumstances for what happened. I have values, I have my reasons for fighting, but I wasn't doing the little things. I wasn't doing the daily reminders to help me fight.
Yeah,
I wasn't fighting. Mm. Right. I righted the ship, and I've started meeting with Cody and redoing my manpower and just getting back on track and everything. And it's nice to have a new year to help put things in perspective and to start to make goals and stuff and resolutions. And things have been going really well since, you know, like mid-December.
Good.
Feel like I've got things back on track. But it's such a reminder that, like, you can't, there's no days off.
No.
Yeah.
And is it not a reminder of life and mortality itself? Holy smokes.
The affinity of it, right?
Yeah, like the world, your world should be rocked. Right? Like, and not that we make, like you said, not that we make those excuses, but that's also real.
Yeah.
Like when I lost my job, that's real. Like it's something that should impact.
That's where those daily preparations.
Correct.
Like where you need them. Like all of a sudden you need your food storage, right?
Oh, you guys.
And so like there's when the moment of crisis is upon you,
it's too late.
The moment of prevention is past, right? And had my parents not taught us the gospel and lived it themselves, we would not be weathering the storm of what's going on with my dad and with my brother as well as we have. But like it's you can't go through boot camp when you're paratrooping into the front lines, right?
Right.
The moment of preparation is past.
And I feel like you said it beautifully. It having these types of things, although so no one would ask for that or want that, the potential beauty of it is learning to cherish every single day. To not take it for granted. When you are with your family, be there. When you are doing your manpower, when you've done your manpower one day, celebrate it.
Yeah.
That's a victory that could help me tomorrow in unknown challenges that will come. 2020 might be smooth sailing. It might be the easiest, best, most relaxing year of your life. It may be the most challenging. But regardless, you can make the choice today to build that foundation, that connection with God, that connection with your family, with people that makes life meaningful. So when those storms do come, as they will, isn't that what Elder Holland, he said something like that, like as they sure will, as they inevitably will.
No one is immune from the storms of life.
Correct.
Right.
And so, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Because
that's hard. That's not easy to talk about.
Right. But yeah, it is what it is.
I didn't even know about True. That's crazy.
He's doing all right.
Is he doing okay?
Yeah, he'll be okay. But it's going to be an adjustment for sure. So we wanted to talk today about resolutions and like in making changes and the commitment required to actually actualize.
Ooh.
Change. what did you want to? Because I know you talked about, what was it that Ash was talking about dreams versus goals?
Ooh, yeah. Should we start there?
Yeah, I like it.
So, you know, new year, we're always talking about goals. So me and Ash have been talking about our own goals and what we would like to work on and do better with. And she has this awesome book that is called The Quitter's Guide to Finishing. I don't know who it's by, but you can look that up. It's a really good little book, short, good book. And in there she defines a goal as something that needs to be, I mean, in like the SMART goals, it needs to be attainable. It needs to be in your power to be able to reach that.
Betsy Shaw is what it looks like.
Betsy Shaw.
Shaw.
And it is called The Quitter's.
The Quitter's Guide to Finishing. 101 Ways to Get Where You Want to Be.
Love it. So check that out if you feel like finishing is and staying with it is something that's hard. But in there she did talk about the difference between a goal and a dream, and I really like the fact that she differentiated the two, because a goal is in your control. If I do XYZ, I will obtain this goal. I am in control of being able to reach that. A dream is something that would be potentially ideal, but that isn't fully in your control. The example she gives is running a marathon versus taking first place in a marathon. So running a marathon is absolutely in everyone's control to some extent, right? Yeah. I mean, I feel like...
But like you can train.
You can train, you can prepare, you can do all of that. You sign up, you pay the money, and you go and you run it. Like that, you're in control of that. Taking first place, you could train your heart out. You could spend your life preparing and running and eating well and doing all the right things, and still someone is faster than you.
Someone just might be genetically a little bit more gifted or...
Correct.
Have a little bit more juice,
you know?
Juice, yeah.
And so keep that in mind as you're setting these goals for 2020. Just keep in mind that it's something you want to make sure you're setting goals that are in your control.
Yeah.
Right. So,
Well, and
that's all I had.
We talked a little bit about, I wanted to bring in some material from the church's missionary handbook, Preach My Gospel, because there is so much. If you haven't served a mission and you'd like to, do it. If you have served a mission and you have stopped reading Preach My Gospel, change. If you have not served a mission and you don't plan to, read Preach My Gospel. The principles taught in there, the things that are taught to the missionaries of how to live life as a missionary, are the same things that you should like embrace in terms of living life.
Living a full life.
Yeah. One maxim that you hear throughout the book, throughout the manual, is set goals and make plans. 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 And the way I had I think it was one of my zone leaders on my mission explain it to me, is he challenged us. He's like, what's the difference between setting a goal and making a plan to achieve a goal? And we were like, I don't know, more faith. I don't know. Like we didn't really have a good answer. He goes, no. A goal is a very subjective type of accomplishment that you want to feel. It's more of a characteristic or a trait that you want to develop. New Year's resolutions are many, but let's look at, you know, what our community cares about. Like, we want to rid ourselves of the chains of pornography and masturbation, right? The goal for that could be, I no longer want pornography to have a role in my life, or I want to start fighting back, or I want to, whatever it is. That's your goal. It's more subjective. It's not very quantifiable. It's more ethereal. Okay. It's kind of more of an idea rather than an actual actionable thing. Now we go ahead and we start making plans. Okay. Our plans could be, I am going to do manpower every single day. That's quantifiable. That's something that I can digest. I can really grasp and get my arms around.
Yep.
I'm going to attend group every week. I'm going to have an accountability partner, and we're going to check in every week. I'm going to listen to the Eternal Warrior podcast once a week.
Which I dare say may be the best plan of any.
It's a good plan to do.
Wow.
Yeah. Tune in. but do you see how a plan is different from a goal there?
Yeah.
Plans support goals.
I love that.
Goals support personal development and the character that you want to put on.
Would you say that the goal then is what I'd like to change or accomplish? The plan is how.
Yeah, it's the roadmap, right?
It's the roadmap.
Yeah.
How am I actually going to the get goal, where I want to go?
So, well, where people get it wrong is they might think, like, let's take a New Year's resolution. Everybody wants to lose weight, right?
Yep.
So their New Year's resolution might be, I want to lose 30 pounds this year or something. That's a plan, really.
Mm.
Your goal is, I want to be healthier and more confident in my appearance and stronger, right? That's the goal. the plan is, okay, I'm going to do that by losing 30 pounds. And then the sub plan for that is I'm going to run 3 miles every day or whatever it is.
Right,
I'm
going
to run a caloric deficit of 1,000 calories a day, whatever it is that you're going to do
right.
to get to where you want to be. But the overarching goal is how is it going to make you feel?
Hmm.
What type of character are you going to have?
Oh, I love
how are
that.
You going to change as an individual? Because you lose 30 pounds and not change.
Right.
Right.
And have no effect. That's so fascinating that you bring that up, because that's what me and Ash were talking about last night, is there is an element to changing what we do without it affecting who we are. And we were talking about maybe what could be missing there is divine aid and assistance from Jesus Christ. I feel like it's not a matter of like what so much losing weight as learning to be disciplined. Ooh. And becoming a person that loves their body and is in control, right? That's mm-hmm. that's what's so beautiful about it. So it's who you become, and I think that's where Jesus Christ obviously has that role to transform, and not just, oh, I'm doing things differently. No, who I am is transforming. Like I'm becoming better. On that note, I don't know if this is the best time to bring this part of the podcast up.
Mm.
But I did want to bring up how when we're talking about goals and plans, which I love, by the way, and mm-hmm. also really quick on your example, 30 pounds, losing 30 pounds might also be the dream too, because that might not also be in your genetic control. Right?
That's true.
So setting a specific, you know, weight goal might not be the best way to do it. It could be if you've seen success with that in the past, but also just, I want to lose weight, feel better, be more confident with who I am. And that was a little side note to that. But I also wanted to bring up, when we're talking about goals, we're talking about plans, as it relates to our journey in recovery from addiction, the importance of recording that journey, recording those goals, recording what you've said you were going to do versus what you actually did do, keeping yourself accountable to yourself via written word in a journal. I was reading in my journal last night, in my Manpower journal, what I was saying just a year ago, and it gives me the juice. And it could give you the juice for a myriad of different ways. Let's say you're in a really good place. Like I was in a really good place last year, and it was so fun to compare that to where I had been, to the down that I'd had, my sabbatical, to look back and say, wow, look at the transformation. It was like physical evidence of what I was becoming. Now, contrast that to this year, I look back and I'm like, dang, I shouldn't say, but I will. I was 40 pounds lighter a year ago.
Whoa.
40 pounds.
That's pretty cool.
What the heck? So I have gained many, many of the pounds on my body.
You put on stone, man.
Which I wish it was muscle mass. Unfortunately, is not. It is fat mass. It is, tubby mass.
Your mustache is very full, though.
That actually is the 20 pounds of it.
There's at least 20 pounds in the mustache.
So there is power, though, in the fact that I can look back and say, I was able to do that. That was me. That wasn't somebody else. That wasn't a book that's saying, hey, don't quit. That was me proving it to myself. Yep. Say, I've done it before.
Yep.
I can do it again. Like there is...
Like you're trying to put 40 more pounds on?
Correct. I've like done it before. I can do it again. There's a simple recipe. You want to know what goal would be? I'm gonna gain a ton of weight and feel really gross about myself. Here's the plan. Shove as much crappy food down your gullet. I'm telling, like, I'm like Swedish fish. Pound them. Reese's Pieces. Gulp them. You know. Oh, Swiss rolls, dude. Just gulp them, gulp them, gulp them. Another key part of that plan is to sit on your butt. Sit on your butt. Don't move a muscle. Sit on that A. That's the song that I would sing. I've been singing the last couple of weeks.
No, but I love what Spence is saying. Like, like, we can gain so much confidence in what we've, but just based on the baseline of what we've accomplished previously, right?
Correct.
So let me ask you then. Well, first off, like, I've got a quick quote, another one from Preach My Gospel.
Okay.
Chapter 8, my favorite chapter. Under accountability, there's a quote from President Monson. He says, "When performance is measured, performance improves. When performance is measured and reported, the rate of improvement accelerates."
Whoa.
If you want to make changes in your life, write down the changes that you want to make and track your progress and have someone hold you to it.
That's the part I was going to say. Yeah. Have someone hold you to it. There is so much power in having an actual calendar that's up on the wall that mom and dad can see, that Wes can see, that my wife can see, that says, and even if you never even have a conversation about it, just the fact that they have visibility into what you're doing and what you're not doing.
Ooh. Caveat though, if you're going to do that and if it's going to work and mean something to you, complete honesty.
Oh,
complete honesty, right?
Like,
if we have a visible calendar that is not
accurate,
that it's a lie, basically, then there's no risk associated, right? Correct. There's nothing keeping you when you're at a level 4 battle with Satan, there's no risk in losing anymore.
Correct. I'll just put a smiley face on the calendar.
Like, yeah, I made it. I didn't lose.
Ooh.
Liar. But you know what? Like, I think all of us have lied to ourselves and to others about our recovery at one point or another, right?
Yeah. It's an unfortunate
byproduct. It doesn't make it okay.
No.
But I want you guys to feel like...
You're definitely not the only one.
Yeah, you're not the only one, but also, like, stop lying, because you won't change. In fact, actually, you will change, and you will become a liar.
Oh, you guys. That is one thing that, when we're talking about certain things changing you, if you continue down that path, it is, you're constantly looking over your shoulder, you're constantly wondering, what did I tell them again? You have to remember all the web of lies. Like, it is the worst. Don't do that.
Yeah. But it's in contrast, though, when you can stand absolutely
fearlessly in front of yourself,
completely exposed in front of yourself, in front of God, in front of everyone in your life, leaving no stone unturned, there's great power in that, to say, like, I am who I am and what I am. Oh. And to then have people embrace you and love you, not in spite of the scars and the defects and lies, but because of the fight that you fought and the way that you wanted to be truthful.
Ooh, yes.
People can't help but respect and love you if you're honest.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That is one of the more beautiful things that I hope that we've nailed. Like, I think we have. I think we've talked about that a lot in the podcast, but
Can we back it up a little bit, Spence?
Yes, we can.
Because we talked about how we can gain confidence by looking back in our life of, like, you know what? I accomplished this, and therefore I know I'm capable of it. Like, I can do it, right?
Right.
I've already done it. What advice would you have for someone who is looking to embark on something that they have never done before?
Ooh.
And, yeah.
The first thing that came to my mind, and in that book, actually, in the Quitter's Guide to Finishing, she talks about the beginner's high, like when you just get started, of what if I could? Just ask yourself that question.
Goggins, man.
Right? That's David Goggins also. Can't hurt me. Read that book as well. Well, a lot of F words.
Yeah. Don't read the F words.
Just skip over the F words. Yeah. So the what if I could lose 40 pounds? and let that question just fester in your soul. Another part of that, I think, to me is I want to prove it to no one else but myself.
Well, what I love about that too is like the victor's journey and the journey, like the goal of, you know, I'm going to get pornography out of my life. I'm no longer going to be chained down by Satan, or I'm going to be healthy or something like that. And then the plans associated with those goals, they're so actionable and so scalable that if you can win one day, you can win every day.
Yes.
If you can lose 1 pound, you can lose 40. Dude. Right? It's super empowering and really cool to be able to realize and like continuing in that success, never resting on our laurels, but pressing forward and never being satisfied. Right. And that's what I love about the Warrior's Creed that we embrace at Sons of Helaman is the whole idea of never satisfied. Right?
Right.
Like, you're never done.
No.
You just get to work on something else.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is the best part, because that just means progress. That means growth. That means, like, becoming once again.
And, like, I think that's how our Heavenly Father would have us live our life. That's what godhood is.
Right.
It's continuous mastery.
Yes. And learning.
Yeah.
Like, learning from mistakes. That was, oh man, I still go back to this every time. But Eliza.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Saying that repentance was plan A, that like, this was part of it. This is the plan. The plan was to come, to learn, to fail, to make mistakes, to hurt, to struggle.
Because we gain then an appreciation for the struggle.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, the medal around our neck when we're on top of the podium means something.
Yes.
Instead of,
oh, I just happened to,
I accidentally won gold or something. No, it's I conquered myself and I went to hell and back.
Right.
And clawed my way to victory. And I keep clawing every day.
So that brings up a question though for me. You asked, you asked me, what do you do if you've never done it before? Mm. Let the what if burn in your bosom. What if though, Wes, there are people out there right now. What do you say to those people who have tried and tried and tried again and have not gotten where they want to go? Where if they were to look back on their journal and they see no progress has been made for the last, you feel just like this, just continuous failure. And you're at the point where you're like, well, maybe this is just who I am. Maybe this is who, like, what I'm going to do the rest of my life. I'm just going to be a porn guy. I'm going to be a Swiss roll guy.
Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Swiss rolls are
amazing.
They are.
I love them. Okay.
Okay.
But
they do nothing for us.
No. Okay. So tell me, what do you say to those people?
So what I say to those people, because I think you bring up a persona that is incongruent with our audience. Someone who's given up does not listen to the Eternal Warrior podcast. The Eternal Warrior podcast. Like, if you are listening to this and you have been there before, you're clearly recommitting yourself. And you said, ooh, someone who continues to try and sees no progress. You also describe someone who's on an individual quest. Recovery, ooh, is not an individual quest. There's community. Community with your other recovering warrior brethren and sisters. Community with those who are cheering for you, and community with your Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ. And when we seek to embark to accomplish something that we've never done before, we can take confidence in the atonement that Jesus has.
Ooh.
And he's done it for you individually in your own way and in your own battle, not mine, not Spence's, but in yours. And as you seek the Spirit's guidance of how can you do it, how can this time be different? You just try, and that's progress.
Yeah. The fact that you're trying still.
That's why you're listening to this.
That's why you're listening to this. The fact that you still care. The fact that you still say, you know what? I've been struggling with this for a long time, but there's something inside me that says it's worth fighting.
And it goes back to the whole fallacy that Satan tells us of, what am I going to be done?
Oh, man.
And it reminds me again, I'm going back to preach my gospel. This is chapter one, and what is my purpose as a missionary? I'm going to paraphrase some things in here so they're more relevant to us non-missionaries. Avoid comparing yourself to others and measuring the outward results of your efforts against theirs.
Wow.
Remember that people have agency whether to accept you or not. Your responsibility is to live clearly and powerfully so you can make an informed choice. Some may not accept you even when they have received a spiritual witness that what you're doing is correct. You might not even accept you. You might even betray your spiritual witnesses. You should not become discouraged. Discouragement will weaken your faith. If you lower your expectations, your effectiveness will decrease. Your desire will weaken, and you will have greater difficulty following the Spirit. So right here, we're being commanded not to lower our expectations. And if we go to chapter 8, we learn this. Measure your progress each day, each week, and each month. When you fall short of a goal, evaluate your efforts and seek for ways to accomplish the goal. If needed, adjust your expectations. So we have two seemingly contradictory statements of don't lower your expectations, but then also adjust your expectations. And
how do those coexist?
Exactly, right? And so let's take our hypothetical scenario of someone who has tried and tried and tried and has never... feels like they've never made progress.
Right.
Right. The expectation, the destination of living a chaste life is not going to change. Don't lower that expectation.
Correct.
The path to get there is where the expectation needs to be adjusted.
Ooh.
Right. To where when we think like, oh, I'm cold turkey, I'm never going to do it again, I'm never going to have a struggle. Like, that's not... Some people, maybe that is their truth, but it's not mine.
Right.
It's not yours. The majority of our community, it's not, right? And so when our expectation changes from, I'm going to live manpower to the best of my ability every day and win day by day, I'm not caring about tomorrow, I'm caring about today, and living in the moment.
Yeah.
That's when our expectation can adjust.
Yes.
Right.
And when the expectation no longer is set by a timeline.
Right.
It's not a finite, oh man, another year is come and gone and I'm still dealing with this. Yeah. No, that's not, there's not a specific finish line maybe, but it's a continuous journey.
The finish line is the orientation.
Right.
Right. And as long as we're oriented, as long as we're facing the right direction, and we could be at the very start, at the starting line.
Yep.
As long as we're on path and heading toward the finish line, the atonement ransoms us.
Ugh. Right.
The gap is filled. Jesus Christ has already bought us.
Yeah.
With his blood. Think of setting sail, like in the 1600s or wherever, from Europe to the New World, to the Americas, okay? There's so much happening on one of those vessels. Think of that as kind of your life, right? We might have some cargo on board. We might have an addiction that we want to get rid of, okay, that we need to deliver to the Caribbean, right? We have to unload it there. But there's other things that are going on ship, okay? We also might have...
Storms, holy crap.
Yeah, we might have storms that come along our way. We have passengers, too, that also need to be transported. We have commerce, right? We have goods on board that we need to sell, as much as we have other cargo that's undesirable that we just want to get rid of. We have stuff that we're trying to sell and gain. We have
maintenance, constant maintenance of that boat, right?
Constant maintenance.
Oh my gosh. I feel like there'd always be things breaking down and making sure this checking, and
we've got people getting sick on board. Basically what I'm getting at is there's so much going on with this ship. There's so much going on with your life. Addiction is just one component of it. You have goals, dreams, aspirations, other challenges on there as well. Okay? Orient yourself to the promised land, mm-hmm. to a life worth living. The wind in our sails is the atonement of Jesus Christ. Okay? That's something that just is there, that we can't compel, we can't force. It just happens.
But you got to open up those sails.
You got to unfurl.
Got to unfurl those sails. Right? Because the wind could be blowing me in the right direction, but if my sails are like literally aren't set, the wind isn't going to take me where I want to go.
And in like manner, all of our goals then diminish. The goods that we're looking to sell spoil.
Right.
The people on board that we're looking to transport die or get sick.
Right. Don't make it.
There's so much going on. Like, we might have armaments on board. We might have cannonade that need to be part of a fight on the other side of the world. And they're out of range if we're not letting the wind of the Savior take the soul of our spirit, or the sail of our soul, and take us where we need to go.
Mm.
Right? So give yourself a chance. Keep things in perspective. And everything else in your life will get to where it needs to go as well.
Yep.
It's just turning things over to the Savior.
So in that vein, a scripture that I literally wrote on, that I wrote down December 31st, 2018. I don't know why, when I was looking back at my journal, this was one of the more powerful things. Romans chapter 6. Verses 4, 6, and then 12 through 14. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I just love that visualization, right? The symbolism of baptism to death. As Christ was raised up by the dead of the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life, renewed. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. This is the key right here. But yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. I just like that, the whole, that visualization of walking in newness of life. 2020 is a new slate. It's a new journey ahead. And we have the opportunity to change, that Jesus Christ has provided us the opportunity so graciously and with so much love, the opportunity to improve, to change.
I love Paul.
We got, yes. Oh, isn't that beautiful?
He's such a poet.
We have to yield. I love that word. Yield ourselves unto God. Yield to, like, give in to. I don't know how else to describe the word yield.
Or give way to.
Give way.
Right?
Whoa.
Christ the right of way, right?
Yeah. Okay, this is what just came to mind.
Take me there.
I remember in an institute class, he talked about the word yield. And you know a yield sign in the United States of America?
Mm-hmm.
Says yield. In England, it says give way. Allow, like give way to someone else. Or give way to Jesus Christ. I love that. Let him, allow him, open those sails and allow him to do what he wants to do, what he loves to do. And I have all the confidence in you listening to this, that if you're listening to this, I have the fact that you're listening to this is amazing. But more so, I even have more confidence in Jesus Christ and in his ability to, as we yield, we give way to him, we allow him to be in our life, we connect with him, we seek him. 2020, regardless of those seas and those storms that are going to come, no matter what, we're going to be okay.
Happy New Year, guys. We're excited to be delivering more content to you. And please reach out to us at podcast@lifechangingservices.org. Let us know what you want to hear. Let us know specifics that you're struggling with that you want some specific guidance around. And we'll deliver that.
Yeah.
We've always made good on that, and we want to continue to do that. The show doesn't exist without you, and we want to continue to serve you as best we can.
Let us know what you need. Let's please write in podcast@lifechangingservices.org. Because the more feedback we get, the better the better this will be for everyone.
Yeah. We've got a lot of exciting content coming your way here. We wanted to get this out to you first to let you know that we're still around.
Yeah.
And the podcast is still happening.
I know. We're past the first Wednesday, which was
the first.
It was the 1st of January.
But buckle up. We're going to have some good stuff coming your way. So
we love you. Thank you for listening. Keep fighting.